This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NFL trade deadline coming up at 4 o'clock, and guy making some noise last night. Some really interesting stuff. Benjamin Albright from Mile High Sports out in Denver last night tweeting that he gets several emails that the coaching staff for the Browns was highly upset at the front office. Coaches were in the building working. The front office went home at 5 o'clock, and a lot of this has to do with the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. Let's bring in Benjamin Albright from Mile High Sports on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. Hi, Benjamin. How are you?
Well, it's been a bit of a rough morning here, but otherwise, all right.
Oh, is it? It can't be rough in Denver. Weather's always pretty decent there. I mean, I like Denver. It's a good city to be in.
Yeah, it's certainly a temperate city, but the quarterbacking situation after last night has got the fan base up in arms.
Brock Osweiler or Paxton Lynch?
Well, it'd be Paxton eventually. Brock would only be a stopgap. That's all he is here. But they're exploring that. Paxton's been hurt, so he's not going to be ready for another 2 or 3 weeks, so that kind of presents a problem with the Philadelphia game looming.
All right, Benjamin, let's go back to the stuff that you were tweeting about last night. And you said you got several emails last night that the coaching staff for the Browns was highly upset at the front office, that the coaches were in the building working, and the front office went home at 5 with the trade deadline coming up today. What more insight do you have on the Browns from last night?
Well, I mean, that's basically the story, is that coaches and people that are close to that whole situation and plugged into that situation and in that situation are a little upset that some people seem to be putting in the extra effort and some people seem not to be. You know, with any story, there's three sides to it, his, hers, and the truth. But I received several emails. It was more than two last night that basically corroborate each other. I made a couple phone calls because I didn't want to put that information out without having, without talking to somebody first. And it looks like basically the coaching staff feels like the front office is kind of hamstringing them. They go home at 5 every day, and they keep bankers' hours. They're not really sitting there putting in the extra work like these guys that are grinding tape coaching the players. And that presents a problem when there's a perception of that. Now, we do live in a modern era where there are such things as the internet and cell phone at home, so it's obviously possible that people could be working from home. That said, one of the sources told me that Sashi Brown was surprised when he got the news of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade over an hour after it happened.
Should the Browns have gone after Jimmy Garoppolo?
The answer to that is always going to be a resounding maybe. Everybody claims they know a quarterback's going to be this, they know a quarterback's going to be that. I'll admit I've been guilty of that at times as well. The truth is we don't know what a guy's going to be. I will tell you that reports that the Browns offered a first-round pick last year for Jimmy Garoppolo or during the draft are absolutely false. No one ever offered a first-round pick for Garoppolo. That would have gotten it done. Anybody who's telling you that the Browns made these giant offers and Belichick has some grudge against the Browns or any of this other nonsense is absolutely ridiculous.
I'm just curious. We had Jason Lacanfor on earlier today, and he just made it like it was matter of fact that the Browns front office and coaching staff will be gone at the end of the season. From the folks that you're getting your information from, do you believe that to be true?
I believe those coaches believe they're going to be gone. They don't know if the front office is still going to be there or not, but they believe they're going to be gone, and they want to get their side of the story out, and so that's why they leaked it to me. I do have a bit of a relationship with some of these guys, so it ends up coming in handy to get this stuff, but they feel like, the coaching staff feels like they're going to be gone either way, scapegoated. I don't know if they know if the front office is going to be gone or not.
Hmm. With that in mind, what should this organization do? Should it stay the course? Should it make big changes? What should it do?
Well, if I were the front office, what I would do, or if I were the owner, excuse me, what I would do is I would keep the front office in place, but bring in Scott McLaughlin as a kind of a go-between, an NFL guy with scouting experience and an eye for talent, and put him in charge of football player decisions, and he would be the liaison between whatever the future coaching staff would be, in this Moneyball front office. And if it doesn't work out that way, if you've got a professional like McLaughlin in there, you still can't get it done, then it's time to move on from their approach, Sashi Brown to Paul DePodesta, and find a new front office as well.
Benjamin Albright joining us from Mile High Sports. Listen, you know, especially being around Brock Osweiler now, what do you think happened with Osweiler here in Cleveland, and do you think the coaching staff wanted to keep him and at least give him a good look so that they could keep DeShone Kizer waiting a little bit so he could learn how to, you know, learn how to perfect his trade?
Well, from Brock, you know, he says that the coach has always said positive things to him about wanting him there. You know, but I mean, obviously you're not going to go up and say, we don't want you here to a guy. So, you know, I can't corroborate that independently, but I can say that Brock felt like he was welcome in Cleveland and that it was a front office move to get rid of him. You know, I think that if you're going to pay a guy $16 million either way, typically you want to keep him around and see what he's got. I think it's bizarre that you would just let him go and eat the money. That part didn't make sense. I thought they were brilliant in taking on the contract and getting the pick for it. But then in the end, cutting the guy and just eating the money is not really what you would call a smart move.
What do you think of the quarterback situation here? Benjamin, we know you have good insight into quarterbacks. What do you think of Kizer? And should they have surrounded him with at least one veteran guy, even Osweiler?
Well, I think that Kizer is a very young guy. He's very raw. There's a lot of tools. There's a lot to like about DeShone Kizer. The problem is the game is too fast for him right now, and he's just not ready to be an NFL starting quarterback. And we've seen that with guys who are very young coming into the league before. He's very young for a rookie quarterback. Alex Smith was very young for a rookie quarterback, and he had that disastrous first year out there. But he got better over time. So I think if you can provide DeShone with some stability, if you can provide him with an environment that he is a veteran to learn from, a good offensive line, but the game slowed down for him naturally, you could have something there. But in the end, you ran with Kizer, Hogan, who's a nobody, and Kessler, who probably should be starting right now, given that Kaiser's just not ready. Just, you know, it doesn't feel like a smart move to me in my experience.
Benjamin, you know, A.J. McCarron's name got bantered around a little bit earlier on our show by Mary Kay Cabot, from the Plain Dealer here in town. Do you think the Browns would make a play for A.J. McCarron? And if they did bring in a quarterback or even bring in a wide receiver because they're really lacking there, does that show any sign of a hope for the coaching staff or even the front office?
Well, first off, let me start with the A.J. McCarron stuff. Maybe they bring him in. I personally wouldn't. You've already basically got A.J. McCarron on the staff right now and Cody Kessler. McCarron's a middling-armed guy. You know, reminds you of Trevor Siemian on a good day. I wouldn't invest a lot into that. If you do, you do. But that may be just a placate the fans move. That said, getting receivers, I think that's something they definitely need to do. They went after a lot of receivers in the draft, and they really haven't panned out the way they wanted. Let Terrell Pryor get away. Kenny Britt really hadn't been what they thought he would be. So I think you do need to get receivers in there to help a quarterback out, and I think that offers hope. But I think when you look at it right now with this season, it looks like it's a lost cause this season, that maybe you're already looking again to next season. I know that's something Browns fans certainly don't want to hear, but isn't that the point where we're at now? I mean, it's we're 0 and what now?
Oh, forever?
right. We're 1-23 in the last 24 games. That's the point.
Did the Patriots get enough for Jimmy Garoppolo? And if you were the Browns and you knew Garoppolo was available, would you not go after him because you liked Kizer as much, if not more?
Well, if you think that Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy, I mean, if you think he's the franchise quarterback, then yes. Franchise quarterbacks are a premium in the league. So whatever it takes to get them, you pay that price. There's no such thing as overpaying for a franchise quarterback unless he doesn't pan out. So I think if you think he's the guy, then yeah, you throw a first rounder at him or whatever you need to do in this case. I think that the Patriots got back what they were expecting to get back, a second rounder. I think that's fair. I think that when you look at the history of quarterbacks, they've gone outside that New England system and on elsewhere. There isn't a single one in the NFL that ever had a winning record. Jimmy would be the first. So I think that you're cautious about it. You don't want to blow your draft capital, but at the same time, it's time to make a move. You need to get a guy in there, whether you feel that's Kizer or not.
So you don't think the Browns thought that Garoppolo was a franchise guy any more than Kizer might be in their eyes?
I think the coaches might have thought that. I don't think the front office did.
Okay.
All right, Benjamin, thank you. Appreciate your time. I just want to reiterate one question and one point that we brought up with you, too. You think that the folks that you've talked to, the coaching staff, thinks they're gone at the end of the season pretty much no matter
what? Yes.
Okay.
Very clearly. And what I'm going to do later is I'm going to redact portions of those emails and put them out because after getting called out by that clown across town or whatever, I don't take insults to my integrity like that. So I'll be putting those emails out redacted so that they can't reveal who they are a little bit later today.
All right. Outstanding. Benjamin, thank you for taking the time to come on with us and explain what you were putting out there last night. Great stuff. Thanks, Benjamin.
Benjamin, thank you.
All right, bud.
All right. Benjamin Albright from Mile High Sports.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.